So what's up, y'all? That little quiet, man, making me nervous. So let me rush first to just thank you, Austin, for real. Like, it's a privilege and an honor to be here. I looked forward to this. I'm excited about the opportunity. And I just really want to kind of publicly thank you. Take my hat off. So, yeah, like he said, my name is Ike Todd. My wife is not here with me today, so she's a beautiful Dominican queen named Arianisis. She's as beautiful as her name sounds. And I'm excited to be here, but the truth is I can't wait to go back to see my wife. You kind of stole my intro about coming here with a recap. But we came here back in March, and I love their family. That's what makes it kind of easier for me and my wife to come along with another family that you love. And so I learned a lot from Recap. I learned a lot from his wife, and I learned a lot from his children. He has a 6-year-old boy, Aaron, and 5-year-old Zipporah girl. And so it makes me think. A little while back, me and my wife was watching the kids, and she went to go pick them up from school. She dropped them off at home, but she had to go back out to work, so it was just me and the kids. And I was just coming off of a cold, and I just ordered these two books, so I figured, let me kind of just put them down in the basement, throw on Netflix. I said, y'all stay down here. I'll be upstairs if you need me, and I'll be reading. So Zipporah looks at me, and she says, you're reading the Bible? I said, no, I'm reading something else. And then she goes, oh, a regular book? So I'm like, yeah, just a regular old book. But I think that that helps actually for us today to be reminded by a 5-year-old girl that what we are about to get into is indeed the word of God. Like the Thessalonians in chapter 2, it says they received and accepted the word as it truly is, the word of God. So let us just prepare our hearts with that kind of reverence. If you don't mind, take your copy of the irregular book and meet me in Colossians chapter 2. You get there, say amen. We're going to go verse 16 all the way down. And it goes a little something like this. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink or with regard to a festival or new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to his regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. May you speak to us, Lord, from your irregular text, from your holy scripture. Use me, O Lord. Use me in my weakness to show off your power and your glory. We love you because you have loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Far be it from me to compare myself to the great Apostle Paul. first time that I explained my testimony to my wife, she said that it reminded her of Paul's testimony. I really respect my wife and honor her, and so I ran with it. I, like Paul, was not saved in a church. There was nobody who passed me a tract. They didn't sit me down and explain the gospel to me. I was living in Hollywood at the time, passionately pursuing my career. I was on the road to success when Jesus knocked me off of my high horse. And even after that, when I repented and trusted in him, I wasn't immediately placed into a Christian community like Paul. Paul explains this in chapter 1 of Galatians, I believe. So we have some similarities there, but I think the best thing, or the thing that I take the most pride in terms of having in common with the Apostle Paul, is our great affection and deep appreciation for hip hop. Paul is definitely a hip hop connoisseur. You can see it throughout his epistles and especially in Colossians. It is clear that what he has in mind is a quote from the legendary Flavor Flav himself. When he pleads with the Colossian church, don't believe the hype. Can we say that together? Don't believe the hype. Amen. Has anybody heard that song? We might know what in the world I'm talking about. See, that's me and Paul. That's what we have in common. That's our thing. Don't believe the hype. Human beings are indeed created in the image of God and therefore have the ability to think deeply, to study, to criticize, to design. And yet, human philosophy is not even worth comparing to the wisdom of God. In other words, don't believe the hype. Paul argues that true wisdom, true knowledge, true understanding is found no other than the person of Jesus Christ. For it is the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ, that you find all truth. If you want to know if one's worldview or philosophy or ideas are true, you begin by asking this one question. Who do you say Christ is? Who do you say Christ is? I remember I was walking out of a barbershop back in Philly, and I heard a voice say, "Hey, man, you want something to read?" And it's one of those things where I didn't know where the voice was coming from, but I knew it was talking to me. So I'm looking around, and I see his hand sticking out of a car window, and he had a magazine in his hand. And I looked at the magazine and there it was. The Watchtower. For those who don't know, the Watchtower is Jehovah's Witness literature. And at first, I was just going to say, you know, no thanks, keep it moving. But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, put a verse on my heart saying, make most of every opportunity. And so I obeyed, and I knew exactly how to get the conversation going. I said, nah, I'm good. I'm a Christian. And he bit. He said, I'm a Christian too. What does that mean? And so we begin this long conversation about who do you say Christ is? Now, believe it or not, it was his idea to direct me to Colossians chapter 1, which, if you have read, Colossians chapter 1 is all about the supremacy of Christ and his deity. But you got to understand that in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, it's a little different. In fact, they, in verses 15 through 17, they add the word other about four times. In fact, it reads like this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because by means of him, all other things were created in heaven and upon the earth. And they go on to add this word other. Three more times. The reason why they do this is because the Jehovah's Witness maintain that the word firstborn means that Jesus was the first thing created, as if to say God, the first thing God created was Jesus. And then Jesus created all other things. So first of all, they're wrong. Firstborn is a title of his preeminence, of his supremacy. But then they literally add words to the text and they admit it. But even if they were right, it would contradict the rest of Scripture. Because in Isaiah 44 says that God, Jehovah, created all things. So there would be a direct contradiction. Even though this man was nice, intelligent, he was a religious man. He was a sincere man. Paul would say, don't believe the hype. One can be sincere and sincerely wrong. Don't believe the hype. Because if you've missed the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ, you miss it all. And Paul makes that clear from chapter 1. He wants us to know and be reminded that you and I are created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. There's a church father, Athanasius was his name. I think I'm saying that right. He so defended this supremacy of Christ that when he died, his friends gave the epitaph, Athanasius against the world. I like to argue from our text today that it's not so much as Athanasius against the world as it is Christ against the world. The first thing I think Paul wants us to realize is that the real deal is in Christ, not the world. Check out verse 16. It says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink or with regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Once again, Paul is here in this hip hop bag, as he has in mind here, the Tupac quote, only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. A lot of people kind of write that off as an unbiblical statement, but really it's in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 14. We ought not to impose our own laws on one another. Only God can judge me. But the issue with that is God's judgment has already been made clear. God's judgment has already been made clear for both the non-believer and the believer. For the non-believer, you ought to know that the wages of sin is death. You ought to know that in John 3, it says, the one who does not believe is condemned already. There is no peace for the wicked, Isaiah says. God's judgment has already been made clear. For even if you don't drink alcohol or don't eat pork or do regard a religious festival or new moon or Sabbath or go to church every week or pay tithes or lead worship, if you don't have Christ, you don't have what you need. Christ is the real deal. On the other hand, if you do have the real deal, you have all that you need. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. What was going on here in the Colossian church was either it was an extreme form of Judaism or early form of Gnosticism. And they were basically coming in trying to impose the ceremonial laws on Gentile Christians. And Paul is saying, no, it's not going down like that, because the Gentiles were never under the law in the first place, and they certainly are now under grace. So don't believe the hype. That has nothing to do with anything. Verse 16 begins with the word therefore. So let us back up a little bit and see what therefore is there for. Verse 13 says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive with him, having forgiven us our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you. It is illegal to lie on a government document. Sometimes I got to remind myself that my nickname is Ike. On a legal document, I have to write Isaac. But there's another interesting part on these documents that asks the question, have you ever been arrested of any crime? Yes or no? Have you ever been arrested? Simple question, yes or no? It was March 10th, 2003. I was 17 years old. I walked into my lunchroom in high school. I was met there by a police officer. They took me to a little office on the side of the school where I was met by more police officers. They put my hands behind my back, handcuffed me, threw me in the back of a van, took me down to the 6th District. I was arrested. I was confused. I was angry because I was innocent. That was 11 a.m. At 2 a.m., they took me from the 6th District to the Youth Study Center for juveniles. They took blood, mugshot, fingerprint, the whole nine. It wasn't until the next day, I believe, somewhere around the afternoon, where they allowed my dad to come pick me up. This whole thing went on for about 3 or 4 months. Come to find out, I was being accused of strong arm robbery. The story started out with me being having a hoodie on a dark, stormy night and robbing two white guys. The story kept getting different and all crazy. By the time we had the actual court date, I was facing 9 felonies. One including not strong arm robbery, but armed robbery. When the judge came in with all authority in her hand and power, she listened to the story and she thought it was just as ridiculous as I thought. And so she threw everyone out her courtroom. She threw out the case. My case was expunged. Even though I've experienced all that there is to be experienced about being arrested, when it comes to the question, have you ever committed a crime or been arrested of any crime? I can answer no, because my case was thrown out. Friends, even though you have experienced all that there is to be a sinner, you have sinned against God, you do sin against God, and you will sin against God. But in Jesus, your case has been thrown out. That's a good spot to say amen. Your case has been thrown out. I want to mention, even during this time, this is what I thought you was going to bring up, Austin. During this time, I was bringing pictures of people that I was affiliated with and letters to show that I'm not only innocent, but that I'm not even the type of guy that would do this. Because at the time I had some things going for me, and I wanted to show them that I wouldn't jeopardize what I got going on. At the time, I was the in-house producer for Allen Iverson's record label. Some of you know Allen Iverson for his Hall of Fame basketball career. Others of you know Allen Iverson for that post-game interview practice. Well, I think that's what Paul is trying to say in verse 17. These are a shadow of things to come. The substance belongs to Christ. In other words, we're talking about shadows. Not Christ. We're talking about shadows. Folks, Christ is the game. Christ is the real deal. Even he said himself in John 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But the scriptures testify about me. Christ is the real deal. But the thing is, even though we know that, sometimes we get tossed to and fro because we need to learn to hold fast to Christ. It is simple. When you lose the head, you lose your mind. When you lose the head, you lose your mind. Look at 18. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. It makes me think of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says, let no one disqualify you. Now look that word disqualify up in its original language. You know what that means? You know what he's literally saying? He's saying this. Let no one Kanye West you. You remember. You know what I'm talking about. Even better, let no one La La Land you. All right, I'm confused on that one. It was last year's Academy Awards. Finally, it was time to announce the best, the biggest award of the night, Oscar for Best Picture. And what was his name? Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway take stage to announce the winner. Warren Beatty takes the envelope and he reads the card and he hesitates. He looks at Faye and he hesitates. He looked down and looked at the producer and he hesitates again. And he begins to announce. And the winner for Best Picture goes to, and then Faye Dunaway takes it and she says, La La Land. So the cast of La La Land rush to the stage to accept their award. And they're celebrating. And as you're watching, you see some chaos and confusion going on the stage. And then it becomes clear. Wait a minute. Wait. There's been a mistake. Moonlight has actually won, not La La Land. Folks, what Paul is trying to say is that we need to take stage and take hold of the reward that is ours. Take hold of the forgiveness that is yours. Take hold of the salvation that is yours. Take hold of eternal life that is yours. And don't let nobody La La Land you. Our entire lives should be one big acceptance speech. Should wake up every morning and just kind of take our reward and say, first of all, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then as people come in and talk about visions and angels, you just keep going with your acceptance speech. For dying on the cross for me, for raising for me. And then people will come in and talk about documentaries that they've seen and how there's conspiracy theories in the Bible. You just keep going with your acceptance speech and hold fast to the head. Hold fast. But it goes on to say, from whom the whole body. By the way, it does say the whole body. You ought to purposefully go out and read and listen and learn from people who are not like you, think like you, look like you. The whole body. God wants to grow us together, nourish and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. We must connect to the whole body. The true, we throw out the word cult. We hear that word a lot and we think of like crazy things, Jim Jones making people drink stuff. But the truest definition of a cult, interestingly enough, is those who say that they are a part of a religion. In our case, those who say that they're Christian, claim to be Christian, but they set themselves up apart from the body. They not only deny the fundamental beliefs, but they set themselves apart from the rest of the body. Folks, don't be cultish. Stay connected and hold fast to the head, but stay connected to the body. Don't tell me that you're staying and holding fast to the head if you're not connected to the body. God wants to grow us together. Some of these things might, we're not necessarily tempted by ceremonial laws, not in a strict sense like these. We're not tempted by, though we know that we're saved by grace through faith. We know that worship of angels is idolatry. We know that. But Paul is saying, be careful. In every area of our lives, we need to remember to submit to Christ, not the world. Submit to Christ, not the world. Submission to the world appears wise. Submission to Christ is wise. Some of you, that may sound kind of elementary, but the fact of the matter is, some of us could listen to too many TED Talks and start to exalt some worldly philosophy above Christ without never even having noticed. Submission to the world appears wise. Submission to Christ is wise. He says, if with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why? As if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If you die with Christ, like to the basics, the fundamentals of the world, the ABCs, if you will, why would you submit to its regulations? Notice how these things are all in the negative. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. I remember back in middle school, we used to walk to school and take the long way on purpose. We would get to school like 30, 45 minutes late. It was terrible. We did all types of things on the way to school. But we had this weird rule that we thought made us spiritual. We had to walk in front of a church every day. And when we got in front of the church, we got all quiet, because the rule was you don't curse in front of a church. Somehow we thought that made us more spiritual. We were middle school students, but there are grown folks, perhaps maybe some of us in here, who think that our made up little rules make us more spiritual and more accepted by God. It does not. It has no power in stopping the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. No power whatsoever. I was thinking about this recently. I've never had to win over, by God's grace, never had to win over my parents' approval or their love. I've had their support in any and everything I've ever wanted to do. And I realize not everyone can say that. But by God's grace, that's the type of parents I've had. Never, ever had to win over their approval in anything. How crazy would it be if I went home tomorrow after not seeing them in like almost a year? I go in the house and I have these made up rules. Don't go to the refrigerator, or don't go in the kitchen without asking. Don't use the bathroom without asking. Don't touch the remote. This would be ridiculous. This was not only like, rather than being honoring, this would be totally dishonoring to them. It would even hurt them. And here's why. Because I wouldn't be enjoying the freedoms and all that comes with being their son at home. God wants us to enjoy the freedoms and everything that he's provided for us in the kingdom of God. If you are a believer in Christ, you have all that you need in him. You have freedom. Don't go backwards, Paul is saying, to the rules of the world and making up things. That is not of God. That is of the world. It may appear wise, but it is not. It's exactly what he talks about in the book of Galatians, which is my favorite book, by the way. But he talks about this in chapter 3. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, like, bro, you got saved by faith. Are you trying to sustain yourself by works of the flesh? No, it's faith all the way through. Reminds me, oh man, I love Job 35 in particular, chapter 35. Some of you know the story of Job. Job had everything you could ever want. Job was rich. He had a beautiful family. Everything you could want. And then, bam, everything goes bad. His children die, like, what's that movie? Final Destination type deaths. Like, just out of nowhere, crazy stuff. He goes broke. His wife is, like, encouraging him to curse God and die. He's afflicted with all types of diseases. Got sores from head to toe. Everything is bad. And then he has these so-called friends, and who were so-called wise, who made things worse because they were trying to tell him, they were arguing with him, saying that, Job, you brought this on yourself because you have some sin in your life. And Job is arguing back, defending himself, saying, no, I don't. I didn't do anything. And this argument goes on for most of the book of Job. Until around 32, I want to say, Elihu, I think is how you say his name. Me and my wife call him Elihu, because that's how you say it in Spanish. But he comes in, and he's standing there, and he says, look, I've been listening to this argument, and I didn't say nothing because y'all are all older than me, and I respect my elders, but I can't take it no more. And the Bible says that he burned with anger. He said, I can't take this no more. This is ridiculous. And he begins to tell Job. He says in 35, he says, Job, look up at the heavens. Gaze up at the clouds. Do you really think that when you sin, you affect God, the one who created all of this? You think you affect him? You only hurt yourself when you sin. And when you do so-called good things, you're only doing what you're supposed to do. And it reminds Job that righteousness is by faith alone. Same thing we need to be reminded of right now in every day of our lives. We need to be reminded that the real deal is in Christ, not the world. We need to be reminded to hold fast to Christ, not the world. And we need to be reminded to submit to Christ, not the world. Things and people may appear to be wise. But yo, don't believe the hype. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your reminder of freedom that is in you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us all that we need in you. Thank you for being such a good father and providing for us. Help us, Lord, not to go backwards, to make up rules that appear to be wise, but have no power in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that is in you, and help us to hold fast to what you have given us. We thank you for this time, and we love you because you have indeed loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen.